So Governor Burgum, Innovative Education Summit happening in Jamestown right now. You've had kind of the first quarter of it, if you will, done already. Tell us a little bit about just what you've learned just in these first few hours of the summit, because there's 2 days of this thing.
Yeah, well, day one really focused on innovation at all levels, leadership at all levels, and that innovation coming from students, coming from classroom teachers, coming from building principals, coming from school district superintendents and school boards. So today's agenda is North Dakota innovators. The stage is filled. We've had students, we've had teachers, we've had superintendents, we've had everybody all today talking about really cool front edge things we're doing and trying to start a movement, if you will, so that these innovators, others that are here, can say, hey, I love what they're doing. I want to do that in our district. And so that's great. Tomorrow, day two, totally focused on the biggest issue facing K-12 today, and that's behavioral health.
Right.
And whether it's kids that, for whatever reason, whatever's going on in their life, whatever's going on in their home life, whatever, you know, trauma they may have experienced in the past might be acting out. Mm-hmm. You know, the kids that are, as we say, that are loud, but we also really want to focus on the kids that are quiet, because we know that we've got, you know, issues with, depression, suicide, all of the things that can go with that. And of course, we know that there's, we'd like to think that there's not, but we know that there's addiction in the high schools, that there's substance abuse that goes on, and it's a disease.
Yeah.
Young brains more susceptible to that, getting, if you will, their brain chemistry altered by those diseases, and so if someone gets on the wrong path, we know that can put them into, they leave our educational system, they end up in our correctional system.
Right.
We spend $10,000 a year on students, which is a very healthy payment compared to almost every state. $10,000 per K-12 student per year in North Dakota is what the state contribution is.
Yeah.
But we spend $41,000 a year if someone's incarcerated.
Wow.
We would much rather spend the money on keeping students healthy, keeping them educated, keeping them on a track where they can be successful in this life, versus taking a health problem,
for sure,
criminalizing it, introducing them to the criminal justice system at great expense to taxpayer, and very little positive effect for either the individual, their family, or society.
For sure. Obviously, this is, I'm seeing educators, I'm seeing innovators from across the state are here today. How does that work for you, being the governor? You're able to kind of get to their level, if you will, and learn about what they're seeing and what is kind of a common theme that you're seeing with our state educators.
Well, I think one of the things that we're really seeing a trend towards is personalized learning.
For sure.
There was a great cartoon that was shown during one of the presenters this morning, and it had a test administrator in front of a set of animals, and he said, okay, we want to be fair and we want to be equitable, so everybody's going to take the same standardized test.
Right.
The test is, we're going to climb the tree. Only the students were, there was one chimpanzee, but there was also a fish, an elephant, a zebra. You know, some people are better at climbing trees than others.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Some people are better at swimming. That fish, if the test was, you can swim the longest, you know, the fish wins.
Yeah.
So I think we have to understand that as humans, we're not all made the same. The model of teaching, the industrialized, everybody sits in a classroom, lecture from the front, bunch of periods, bell rings, you got 3 minutes to get to the next class.
Right.
The education that I went through growing up in North Dakota, that doesn't work for everybody. And so there's a big push on personalizing, but it's also a real push on team-based, real-world, hands-on learning that teaches 21st century skills. And we just got done with a fantastic panel of educators talking about how they were incorporating from their communities, Botno, Rugby, and Fargo, incorporating Main Street topics. You know, how do we have a healthier, vibrant, more engaged community, and getting kids from 7th grade through high school out engaged, in their community with veterans, with property owners, with the community, some fantastic things, because, you know, that's the kind of stuff, you know, if a kid can actually get out of the classroom, that might keep them in school.
Right, keep them in school, but also maybe even keep them in the state, get them involved in their community, and possibly giving back in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely, and understanding that we all know, if you said, hey, what is hands-on, team-based, real-world, collaborative learning, what is that? Well, I mean, it turns out, it sounds a lot to me like, you know, growing up in small, that sounds like 4-H, it sounds like FFA, it sounds like scouting, but it also sounds like, you know, team robotics, it sounds like, you know, Go Girls Cyber. We had the award-winning student today, young woman, going to be a junior at Williston, their team, the Wilson Coyotes, top cyber team in the state. She was the won the Student of the Year award. She's got aspirations and talent. And there's, you know, there's a 500,000 cyber jobs open, cybersecurity jobs, and she said as a junior in high school, you know, if you ask her what you want to be grow up, she wants to be an internet detective. She wants to solve crime on the internet with the digital footprint that people leave. That's exciting to me when I hear that this is really working. And even younger kids, marketplace for kids, entrepreneurship, innovation. We think of those as extracurricular, when in fact some of those skills are actually what we need to be teaching in the school every day for engagement, for keeping people motivated. It's fantastic. And some of that relates back to career and technical, which is we're a country that's got $1.6 trillion of student debt. That's a huge load on students and on that's a debt load on entrepreneurship and innovation. They have to get a job working for some big company that pay off their debt as opposed to chasing their dream. And we got to figure out a way to educate kids without burdening them with this kind of debt. And one of those pathways is getting a career and technical degree where you can get a job. If people said, oh, my son doesn't want to be, you know, I don't want my son to be a welder. Well, how about he's a welder making 70 grand a year, and then the company teaches him to program robotic welders, and he's making 120.
Right.
And then from there, he does his startup, and then he becomes a super successful millionaire because he's got a bunch of robotics welders working for him. I mean, this is the path, the success path includes the ability to actually get your hands on, do stuff. It's not what you know anymore, it's what you can do, because today you can look up the answer to anything, any place, anytime, on any device. And so teaching our kids to do really plays back into, as a state, we've got to make a bigger, stronger commitment to career and technical education.